Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time we're taking on the book of Colossians, and wow, this one just drops you right in the middle of things. Paul, writing from prison to a church he's never even visited before. I mean, can you imagine getting a letter like that?
It does make you realize just how connected all those early Christian communities were. And with Colossians, there's an extra layer because scholars have actually debated for centuries whether Paul actually wrote it.
Wait a minute, disputed authorship? I thought with Paul's letters, we were pretty much sure who wrote them.
We are with a lot of them, yeah. But Colossians, along with a few others, ends up in this category of disputed texts. And some scholars point to, you know, differences in style and the vocabulary compared to his undisputed letters. Like, they argue that Colossians is a little more complex, maybe even a little more academic.
So maybe prison life, like, affected his writing style. I mean, I know even my own accent changes a bit depending on, you know, where I've been living.
That's a thought. But the ancient world had all these layers to authorship that we don't really think about much today. I mean, writing back then was way more collaborative. You know, you might have scribes taking dictation, maybe co-authors working together, even sometimes people writing under the name of someone famous who'd already passed away.
Whoa. So like ancient ghostwriters, basically, that's kind of wild. But wouldn't people back then have been able to tell if a letter wasn't actually from Paul?
That is a great question. And it seems like, yeah, they were pretty sharp. You know, these were communities who were seriously devoted to their faith. They weren't just accepting any writing that came along. In fact, the Bible itself warns against, you know, just believing everything you hear.
That makes sense. If you're passing around these important teachings, you want to make sure they're the real deal. So how do we weigh all this when it comes to Colossians? Does the evidence point to Paul actually writing it, or is it more likely it was someone else kind of trying to imitate his style?
It's a really interesting puzzle. One thing that supports Paul as the author is the timing. If someone was trying to pass off a fake Paul letter, they did it really quickly after his real ones were going around. Usually that kind of thing happened way later.
So the timeline is suspicious.
Yeah.
What else makes scholars think it was probably Paul?
Well, there's this huge overlap between Colossians and Philemon, another letter Paul wrote from prison that no one disputes. And the similarities are more than just the big ideas. It's the specific names he mentions, even the grammatical structures, the whole tone of it.
It's almost like sending the same email twice, but with little tweaks for each person he sent it to.
Exactly. And the scholar James Dunmore, he put it this way. He said the overlap can only be the result of deliberate contrivance or closeness of historical origin, meaning either someone went to crazy lengths to fake it or Paul wrote them both.
Okay, I can see how that much detail will be tough to fake. But let's say, just for the sake of argument, that Paul did dictate this letter to a scribe, or maybe even worked on it with someone else, would that change how we understand what Colossians is saying?
It's a really good question. And to get to the answer, we need to dig into the history a bit. You know, the city of Colossae itself and the challenges the Christians there were dealing with.
Okay, so let's try to picture ourselves back in ancient Colossae.
Mm-hmm.
What was this place like? Was it a big bustling city like Rome or something completely different?
Colossae was interesting. Not a huge city like Ephesus or Rome, but it was definitely a busy hub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think of a place located right on a major trade route, about 120 miles east of Ephesus. And it was a real mix of cultures and ideas.
So kind of like a crossroads town with all sorts of people coming and going and mixing together.
Exactly. You had intellectuals there, devout followers of all kinds of pagan faiths, merchants running around a real blend of different perspectives and beliefs. And here's where it gets really interesting. There's evidence that Colossae had a significant Jewish population.
Really? I always think of early Christianity as spreading mostly among Gentiles, you know, people who weren't Jewish.
That's a common idea people have. And Colossae is a perfect example of why. Remember, after Alexander the Great, there was a ton of cultural exchange all over the Mediterranean. Jewish communities weren't just limited to Judea. Places like Alexandria in Egypt had huge Jewish populations.
There were already Jewish people in the area when Christianity showed up.
Yeah.
That definitely adds a whole new layer to understanding what was going on in the early church.
It does, and it helps us see why Paul, in his letter, addresses certain Jewish practices and beliefs. He wasn't just talking to a Gentile audience. He was talking to a community that was trying to figure out how to combine their Jewish heritage with this new faith focused on Jesus.
It's like they were trying to blend two separate worlds, two whole sets of traditions. No wonder there might have been some confusion and tension.
And to make things even more complex, they were also dealing with the influence of Greek philosophy and even some early forms of Gnosticism, you know, that belief system that said secret knowledge was the key to salvation. Imagine trying to sort through all of that traditional Jewish practices, Greek intellectualism, and this mystical Gnostic element.
Wow, talk about information overload. It's like their own version of the internet with all these different ideas competing for their attention.
That's a great way to put it. And that's exactly why Paul's letter is so important. He's writing to give them clarity, guidance, and reassurance because they're wrestling with all these complicated questions and challenges.
So Paul steps in like a spiritual mentor, helping them navigate this confusing world. And remember, he's doing all this from prison, which just adds another level of intensity to his letter.
Absolutely. And here's another interesting detail. Even though he wrote this really profound letter to the Colossians addressing all their specific concerns and questions, Paul had never actually visited them in person.
Wait a minute. He's writing this whole letter offering guidance and correction to people he's never even met face to face.
That seems to be the case. But we know from the letter that a man named Epaphras, probably one of Paul's converts, was really important in starting the church in Colossae. He might have even traveled to visit Paul while he was in prison, sharing news and updates about the community.
So Epaphras was like this link between Paul and the Colossians, passing information back and forth.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, did Paul even know who he was writing to? Did he have specific people in mind, or was he writing to a more general audience?
That's a question that's fascinated scholars for ages, and unfortunately we don't have a clear answer. But what we do know is that Paul really cared about the Colossian church, even though he hadn't personally started it. His letter shows his pastoral heart, his desire to guide and shepherd these believers, even from far away.
That's powerful, this sense of connection and responsibility, even though they were separated by distance.
Exactly. And it tells us something about how connected the early Christian movement really was. It wasn't just about isolated groups. It was about a network of believers who supported and encouraged each other, shared teachings and resources, and ultimately tried to live out their faith in a complicated world.
All right, I'm ready to dive into the letter itself. Where do we even start with something as rich and layered as Colossians? So we've got this picture of the Colossians like a community wrestling with this blend of Jewish traditions and Greek philosophy and even some mystical ideas. It's like they were trying to solve a puzzle, but with all the wrong pieces.
Yeah, it was a real challenge for them. And right into that mix comes Paul's letter, and he offers this really powerful and unifying message, the supremacy of Christ.
Okay, but what does that actually mean, like, practically?
Yeah.
How did Paul connect this idea of Christ's supremacy to their everyday lives?
Well, he tackles it head on. He stresses that in Christ, they already had everything they needed. They didn't need to rely on all these elaborate rituals or philosophical arguments or even secret knowledge. He's saying that Christ is the fullness of God living right there among them.
So it's like Paul saying, hey, you've already got the winning ticket. Don't get distracted by all these other claims to truth.
Exactly. And he goes beyond just telling them what not to believe. He gives this beautiful picture of what it means to actually live in Christ. He uses this image of taking off the old self and putting on a new self, one that's full of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
It's like a total wardrobe makeover for your soul, right? Out with the old and in with the new.
That's a great way to think about it. And he really emphasizes that this transformation isn't just about individual growth. It's about living it out together in community. He tells them and us to bear with one another, forgive each other, and most importantly, love one another.
This is where the rubber meets the road, right? It's easy to get caught up in abstract ideas, but Paul brings it down to earth. He shows how faith actually plays out in our actions, in our relationships, in how we treat each other.
Exactly. And it's amazing how relevant this message still is for us today. We might not be dealing with the same mix of philosophies as the Colossians, but we live in a world that's just as full of information with all these different ideas competing for our attention and all these different paths we could take. It can be really overwhelming.
It's like we're all living in our own version of Colossae, trying to figure out how to follow Christ in the middle of all the noise and distractions.
That's a powerful thought. And Paul's letter gives us this timeless compass. It reminds us that no matter what we're facing, we can find our foundation in Christ. He's the one who holds everything together.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Colossians, what's the one thing you really hope listeners will take away from our conversation?
For me, it's realizing that Colossians isn't just some old letter written to one specific group. It's a message that still speaks to us today across all these centuries. It offers guidance and encouragement for anyone who wants to follow Christ in a world that's always changing. It's a call to find our true identity and security in him, to put on that new self, to live lives that are marked by love and grace, and to support each other on this journey of faith.
That's a great way to put it. And it makes me think, if Paul, writing from prison, could offer such a powerful message of hope and resilience to people he'd never even met, what does that tell us about the power of faith to break down barriers and connect us across time and space? Keep digging. keep exploring and keep the conversation going. Until next time.